Okay, special cases. This is the treat. I have here the challah procedure for the star K, the OU, and the Chaf K. Nothing against OK, which is also a national certification. I just didn't have a contact there to get their procedure. But they have three very different procedures, and they're all of them are very fascinating. Let's picture, for example, a corporate operation making bread. Office, flour storage, baking area, packaging area, and loading dock. Okay? When you speak to the guy in the office and tell him there's a mitzvah of challah, besides all the ingredients that we cleared, where are we going to take care of the mitzvah of challah? So one would think baking, which is really the kneading area as well, you would think that we would take care of it here. How are you going to take care of it? You're going to have a full-time mashgiach paid so that every time they mix a flour, mix a dough, he's going to come and he's going to take a piece. I mean, these mixing vats are humongous. There's no question that there are 5 pounds of flour in there. And he's going to take off his challah. That would be the traditional method. It's a little bit problematic because most of these bakeries have very standardized ingredients, and there's no reason for them to pay for a full-time mashkiach, full salary, to be waiting around taking this portion of dough off. Basically, the way hashgacha works is that a person comes periodically, whether it's 2-3 times a week, or even a day, or a month, whatever it is, he glances at all the inventory, that they are in fact only accepting things that have been pre-approved, and they continue to give the certification on trust. So they're not going to have a guy there at 4:30 in the morning when the company starts and throughout the day. So this method, even though very traditional and straightforward, is not really a very good solution. Take a look at number 15, at the first solution. Outside of Israel, since the mitzvah of challah is only rabbinic, it is permissible, in cases of necessity, to eat from the bread and then separate challah from that which remains. Okay, this I mentioned as a solution for Shabbos, cases of necessity. I'm not allowed to take challah on Shabbos, so I'll leave off a portion and I'll handle it later. The same thing I marked is that you're allowed to do this in the case of a bakery. Let's say this is a retail bakery. You tell the guy in the office that when they do their baking, I want you to leave off of every baked thing a piece of dough so that we will be able to take off challah later in the day. So basically you're telling them, this is what you do in a local bakery, simple solution, you tell them, we don't want you taking the challah. Whether you're allowed to take the challah, you're not allowed to take the challah, if it's Jewish workers, it's not Jewish workers, it's irrelevant. We want you to take off of every batch that you make, take off a piece, put it on the side, and when our mashgiach walks in at the end of the day, he's going to take off a portion. You followed this solution? During the course of the day, just like on Shabbos we mentioned, you're eating the food. The food is being packed, loaded, local bakeries, retail outlets, they're processing it. But he can look at the processing log of the company, and he knows how many batches they made. He knows how many batches of dough, piles of dough, he sees in the refrigerator when he walks in. If they match, he knows all he's got to do is take challah from each batch. He'll burn that, he'll take care of that, and he knows that all the challah of the day, all the bread of the day was taken care of. Okay? That only works if you can come in every single day and make sure to take off the challah. Good? So a place that says challah is taken, and not just a general certification, when they say challah is taken, it means that it's a regular, normal, Jewish-owned bakery, and they have workers who are Jewish, who are trained, and they don't let a dough pass their hands without taking care of it. This is a trick, a loophole. It's accepted. Outside of Israel, there's a leniency, it's rabbinic, the rabbis allowed you to do this. I mentioned, if you're in the case of Shabbos, you're allowed to do it. You're allowed to do it here too.
This is only if it's Jewish owned.
There's only an obligation to do challah if it's a Jewish owned dough. Second solution is right over here. We find out who your smiley owner is. And if he's not Jewish, doesn't look like he has a yarmulke, then he's not a problem. He's not Jewish owned. I have no problem. That's second solution. Let's look at third solution. Number 16. One should not separate challah until the dough is mixed sufficiently that the flour that remains is less than when we obligated in the mitzvah. So let's start off this quote by being very practical. The mashgiach walks in. There is dough for him to look at in the fridge. But before he goes there, he sees that they're mixing a vat of flour and water and ingredients. He wants to know, can I take challah from this mixture right now? So the halacha is that really, you shouldn't take the challah until the dough is so mixed that the flour that remains is less than 3 pounds of flour. So in a massive mixing vat, he would not take challah from that vat until it's been totally mixed. Because as long as there's still some flour flying around in a big vat, there's 3 pounds of flour. If he wishes, there's a solution for him, if he's in a rush. Once there's the requisite amount of dough, meaning there's 5 pounds of flour that's been properly mixed into a dough, he can take challah of the dough that's been formed, and he declares it should include the flour which will later be mixed. Star K has this as a suggestion. They have it between the baking area and the flour storage. They go ahead and take this dough that's 5 pounds. It's definitively obligated in challah. And they make a declaration, and this is so cute. In the case we just quoted, the statement was that the 5 pounds of flour that's been mixed into a correct dough shall include the flour which will later be mixed into this dough. Right? What the methodology in a company setting would be is you say this 5 pounds and the challah which I'm about to take off shall be challah not just on the 5 pounds, but also on the flour which is in storage, which will later be mixed into a dough, even though it's not going to be this dough.
That same day? Or
doesn't matter. As long as the flour is in storage on the site, and you are in visual of the flour, the dough you take off covers the dough that's active and the flour which will be mixed.
It's anticipatory.
Yes.
So that's why you come once or twice a week?
Yes.
How long does it last?
As long as the flour storage hasn't changed. This is so delicate.
Right.
According to the Star K wording on their protocol, you must date all flour so that you know when they're starting to use the new batch. They are instructed that they cannot use the new batch without a visit from the mashgiach, and the mashgiach will take off another piece of dough from a legitimate 5 pounds of flour to cover the new shipment.
So it's not a percentage of all the flour that's needed, it's just the olive size.
Correct. We never work with percentages in the way we're describing challah in our time. It doesn't matter how big your thing is, it's the same olive size. And the reason for that is because it's getting burnt anyway. Had the Kohen, Mrs. Kohen, been waiting for my delivery, then we would be giving percentages and she would benefit from the size. But if we're burning it anyway, so that's Baal Tashlis.
You don't want to waste, right?
It's more than rabbinic. I mean, it's just, it's rabbinic guidance. It's not because it's rabbinic. It's rabbinic guidance. There's no reason to take off a significant percentage if it's going to be burnt. That's not correct procedure.
Well, the amount of flour could last 2 or 3 months, maybe. They won't need the mashgiach to come back.
So that depends totally on the size of the operation and their method. All we're doing is putting the philosophy in place. You can take a ball of flour, it'll cover this 5-pound mixture, the rest of the flour that's going to be mixed into it, and the flour which has yet to be mixed. One thing to keep in mind, he can't get rid of this. This piece of dough is challah on this flour when it will be mixed. Mm-hmm. Not when it's flour, when it will be mixed. So they have a little freezer which they place in the baking area, in the kneading area, in order that it should be in the same room, and it happens automatically. When the flour gets mixed with the water, with the other ingredients, as soon as it's mixed, it automatically, based on its original declaration, becomes kosher through the challah which was taken a week ago.
Well, they burn it after all the flour?
When they're all done, mm-hmm. when they're ready to replace it with the new dough, then they go ahead and burn the old piece of dough. Now, that is a method which exists, but is not commonly practiced. The Chafkei and the OU have a different method, and even the Sarkei, as I understand it, it depends on which location they're in, which method they use. The final method, which I want to describe, is number 17, fairly straightforward. One may not take challah from one dough on another dough unless they're in the same enclosure. What inference do you get from that in a positive sense? You may take from one dough on another dough if they're in the same enclosure.
Right.
Again, one may not take if they're in a different, if they're not in the same enclosure, unless they're in the same enclosure.
What are we referring to enclosure?
Yeah, what do you mean enclosure?
So we're going to work with the same room. We're going to assume the same room is the same enclosure.
So that's a different enclosure with the one you just talked about, flour storage, and then they have the mixing.
No, it's also the same enclosure because we purposed the challah in a way that it was facing the flour storage area. We purposely did it in a way that would satisfy that requirement.
What would be the purpose to take the challah from one dough and put on another?
I'll show you the solution. Fascinating. Imagine a box of matzah. But I purposely processed this box of matzah in a way that challah has not been taken. Can you imagine going into ShopRite and asking them for a special box of Horowitz Margaretten? I don't like what you have on the shelf, because every box says challah has been taken. I want a box that challah has not been taken. Why? Because if I take a box of matzah that challah has not been taken, and I place it here, in the same enclosure, then what's the rule?
You
are allowed to take challah from one batch on another batch, as long as it's in the same enclosure. So all you have to do, procedure of the OU, is they recommend that you take it the right way, I mean, if you could. But here's the solution. You put a box of matzah, which challah has not yet been taken from it. Meaning it's not an edible kosher box of matzah yet, even though its ingredients are good. You place it in the same room as the baking, and you make a declaration. Here's the declaration. 1 gram, one small amount shall be challah on behalf of the current batch that's being kneaded. And automatically, by virtue of this box of matzah being in the place where the stuff is kneaded, I want that another gram should automatically occur by the next kneading, when challah is ready to be taken. I won't be here, but it should happen automatically. And by the next kneading, another one should happen. I have a question for you. Does anybody know how many grams there are in a conventional size box of matzah?
Oh, 500.
1,250.
Very good.
453,
I believe the number is, something like that.
Just under 500. If you make a declaration that 1 gram should be covered for every time a baking is done, then this will last a certain period of time. Depends on the company again. And by doing that, every time a kneading happens, automatically, challah is being taken by virtue of this box of matzah, which has the same halachic status as the dough that's being kneaded. Again, if I had taken a box of matzah from ShopRite that challah is already taken from and it's edible, that wouldn't help me, because that's not the same status. I need something of the same legal status. This has not yet been taken, challah. And most of this box of matzah has not yet been taken challah.
It's already cooked. It's not in dough form.
Very good. That's not a problem. The fact that one is baked and one is not a significant difference.
Well, you said it has to be in dough form.
But again, outside Israel.
Slowly. She asked me a good question. Doesn't have to be. It's proper to take challah when it's in dough form, but it's acceptable to do it once it's baked. The only difference between this and this is that this is in dough form and this is in baked form. In the laws of challah, that's not a significant difference, because you're allowed to take it when it's baked and you're allowed to take it when it's dough. It would be ideal to take it when it's dough, but that's not a significant difference. It's still acceptable.
When did they say the bracha?
They say the bracha on the original time.
What's the original?
The first time, when they make the first gram, when the Mashkiach comes for the first time and he makes his first gram into matzah, into challah, his crackers.
How do you take it? You break off a piece?
He doesn't have to do anything.
He
makes a declaration. He holds it and says, the gram in the top right-hand corner shall be challah on this dough.
And then they just keep the box there until...
They have to keep the box there.
Keep the record.
He's actually very funny. It is recommended that the bag or box be marked clearly. Do not remove by order of the management. This should be written in English and any other language which the employees of the company can read.
Habla español.
Where do you get a box of matzah that challah hasn't been taken?
Oh! So organizations like the Chafke and the OU, which use this method, specifically process what they call crackers for this purpose. They don't usually call it matzah, because matzah has the connotation like you're allowed to eat it. But they specifically process wheat crackers, and they put such a container in such a place.
Commercial wheat cracker? I mean, things that are sold on the market, and they just take a box and put it in there?
It has to be that challah was not yet taken of it.
You can't buy it in a store. You can't sell it then. Right.
Not their box. That's for internal. That's their own.
This is a method
of being able to take challah without being there. They have written that they try to say this declaration every day, but the Mashkiach who makes the declaration is 3,000 miles away from the plant. It's nothing to do with the plant. It makes a declaration that today there's going to be processing. The box of matzah that's there will take care of the challah mitzvah for whatever is needed the entire day, until such a declaration is repeated tomorrow.
He comes back when the box is finished.
Oh, so he has to keep track. But like this, we're dealing with log books. We don't have to be there. We can inspect the log book every week and see, did you do 400 does? Then we better replace the box. And by checking a log book, you're able to give the hashgacha.
What happens to the box? They burn that?
When the box is completed, then you burn it. To fulfill the custom of burning challah.
That you have to set on fire, I would think.
Shouldn't be too hot.
Okay.
I give you a lot of credit.
Just one question. So in Israel, are they taking actual dough to Mrs. Cohen?
No.
They're still not doing
that. We still don't do it, but we don't do a lot of these loopholes. They have to take challah. Some of these loopholes would not work.
Okay, but they're still burning the challah.
They're still burning. The custom, the prevalent custom, is that we burn challah in our time. This is acceptable for the United States.
Is that tied to the no temple existing? I mean, if the temple
were the here? Primary reason, I think I gave it to you in quote 12. Since we are not ritually pure, and we're not absolutely positive about the lineage of a Kohen. That's why you don't do it.
Okay.
Because eating this challah is, you know, big leagues. If he's not a Kohen, it's very serious.
About eating it?
Yeah, you can't eat it if you're not a Kohen. So we're very cautious.
Is that in the Torah too, those prohibitions?
Yes. Not to eat the tithes designated to a Kohen is a serious infringement. So we don't do it. So don't do it.
Okay.
But that's why we burn it. That's where that comes from. Beautiful.
Fascinating.
Awesome.
Right.
Just you should appreciate what we did, why we so we took it from the very basic mitzvah which we could have done, right? Quote 10. Just quoting from the Art Scroll Siddur. A nice simple quote, and we took it with the background, with all the laws, right, covering the nuances, even all the way to the corporate application of the mitzvah. And that's why it is, you know, a tremendous topic.
Is this argued extensively in the Talmud?
There's plenty of material on it. In Shulchan Aruch, in Jewish law, it's approximately 10 chapters. In other words, it's a big topic.